Hey there, welcome to the catch-up. I don't know about you fellas, but if I were to sum up this catch-up in one six-second soundbite, it'd be this.
We're pissed off. There's nothing happening down there at Eagle Farm. They're out of power.
But that's just me. I mean,
in life, it's like we need more, how do I put this, instances where drunks are walking home.
Yes.
Just before the news starts.
Yes, drunks from go to woe on the news. Drunk sports people.
Plenty on the catch-up today. Tom Gleason, all about his new show. Great new quiz show, Marto, called Hard Quiz. It's hard to find a new way to do a quiz show, but he's found it. It's good fun, and we'll have a chat to him about that today as well.
Yes, indeed. Don't forget Australian cricket coach Darren Lehman on the show as well.
Love Boof.
And, of course, Richard Friedman gave us the tips that got you the first four in the Melbourne Cup yesterday. He was on to gloat as well. That's all to come on the catch-up. Enjoy it.
Hey, guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away, but what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts. There's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now, and let's get into the podcast.
Yesterday, Marto. Yes, I know you're excited. Take it away.
No, can I read you out an email that came late yesterday afternoon to the station, all right, from a guy called Graham. I won't read out his full last name. Here it goes. Richard Freeman, you are a legend. Thanks for your top six horses. First time I've ever collected a first four. Just wish I had more than 14% of the 24,000. What has that worked out? So he's won a couple of grand. Still stoked with Collect. Triple M, you are the best.
If you didn't hear it, we had a very good friend, racing expert and trainer, Richard Friedman, on to give us some tips for the Melbourne Cup. This is what he said.
I'm going to put on top number 20, Oceanographer. I'm going to throw in number 6, Hartnell, because you just have to have him. Put in number 21, Secret Number. I reckon number 17, Al Mandan, because he's got good local form and he's been very well trained for the race. I'll throw in 23, Kiwi. He won the Geelong Cup. And the last one I'm going to throw in is number 13, Heartbreak City.
Right. Now, if you're paying attention there, you'll notice that he's got the top three.
He said to box those six horses in a trifecta and you should be sweet.
And he joins us on the line, Richard Freeman, racing expert and trainer.
What, doesn't happen often, Rich.
No, it doesn't. And you know what? Next week when I tip a heap of losers, they'll all be throwing apples at me. But, you know, that's racing.
I better I'll tell ask, you, Richard, did you have you, a bet?
Yeah, did you have a go?
Something came away there. I think everyone who took the box trifecta took the box first four. Yeah. And one guy in Sydney, because they gave the same numbers, of course, on Triple M in Sydney.
Oh, did you?
One guy in Sydney won 15,000.
Oh, my God.
When you say one guy in Sydney, that'll be one of the boys on the show. That'll be MG.
We got three guys in here who wrote it down, because we all wrote them down as you were speaking, because we're all idiots, and we'll follow anyone who says something. But three blokes in here won good little piles of money. Well done.
Yeah, well played, thanks, mate.
It doesn't happen every time, but I have had a bit of knack of getting that first four in that race. I think I've got it about four times in the last 6 years. So,
you are the Lloyd Williams of tipping. All right, Richard Freeman, you're a champ, buddy.
Did your brother ever find out that you didn't tip any of his horses?
No, when the rain didn't come, he didn't think. The only one that could run the real journey was probably our Ivanhoe, and when the rain didn't come, he was up against it.
Stuffed.
But he wasn't disappointed. They both ran well.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Richard Friedman, mate, we'll speak to you soon. Legend. Thanks, mate. You're an absolute champ. And now it's time, Marto. Yesterday I went to the phones and I said no one ever wins. So I was proved wrong when people flooded us with calls of their wins.
Let's check if anyone, one of our listeners, wrote it down and had a punt with those numbers.
Yeah, did anyone get on Richard's tips? Because we know that they won some people some money. You and I didn't get on it. We're idiots. And here comes Steve from Shayla Park. You put some money on Richard's tips. How did you go, Steve?
Yeah, I did really well, guys. Thanks very much, Richard. I put $30 down on a first four and $30 on a trifecta and walked away with $2,276.
Memorable.
What a guy.
Got to be happy with
that, don't you? So tell me, yesterday morning, did you put pen to paper as Richard Friedman was speaking?
I did. I just had a piece of paper in the truck and wrote the numbers down for his selection from one down to six, and that's how I put them on the ticket.
Nice. Well, I'm happy for you, Steve. Well played, buddy. Well played. Here comes Daniel from Wynnum.
How'd you go, Dan?
Hey there. Yeah, I took the tips. Oh, brilliant. 750 off the box trifecta. I'm just disappointed. I only put it on for a half.
Yeah. Well, it paid, what did it pay? $1,500 or $1,600, wasn't it, the trifecta yesterday?
$1,600, and I got 700 and something out of it.
Delirious. Would you believe I left the piece of paper on my desk here at work, and I'm going, what did he say this morning?
Am I an idiot? Actually, here's Fiona. Fiona from Stafford Heights. Fiona, what happened with you?
Yeah, I wrote down Richard's tips. Didn't realise, actually, that I'd put his on when I did it, but I got the box trifecta. I only put $5 down, but I got $325 for that.
Now, Fiona, are you going to spend that money all on yourself, or is your family trying to grab at it?
No, we're actually going to the races on Saturday, so I'll be doing a bit more betting.
Oh, be careful, Fiona. Well, are you a year-round punter?
Yeah, we part own a few horses, so yeah, enjoy the races.
Well, that 320 will go pretty quickly on hay.
Thank you, Fiona.
Rodney from Capalabar, did you have a big win?
No, I didn't. What happened was I put down his numbers on Monday night when he gave them out, and the wife went down yesterday to put them on. The bloke stuffed it up the first time because she didn't know how to do it. Then he put them on a second time. He got home and realised he put down number 12, not 13.
Sorry, Rod.
That hurts.
Does anyone know if I can do anything about it, or how much would have it have paid?
How much were you going to put on it, Rod?
It cost us $14 to put it on.
Yeah, well, that would have been full. You would have won $1,600. So, you won't be getting that back, mate. Let me tell you straight out. I'm not a lawyer, and I can see you won't be getting that back.
But, Rodney, you know what, buddy? I'm sorry that that happened to you, but you weren't the only one who was disappointed yesterday. I mean, how about this young man? He's had a terrible time.
We're pissed off. There's nothing happening down there at Eagle Farm. They're out of power.
If you don't know, Eagle Farm, the power went off for 90 minutes just before the big race, and no one, well, he wasn't happy.
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this, just for you, for listening right now, Ovo will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract, and Ovo will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G, and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
Welcome to the next president of the United States of America, Donald Trump.
What a treat, Mr. Donald Trump. Welcome. And I see you've had a resurgence in the polls.
Yes, that's right. I'm back, baby. I'm like Freddy Krueger or herpes or Jesus. I always come back when you least expect it.
Did I just hear you compare yourself to Jesus?
Why not? Why can't the Donald be just like Jesus? We both have many followers, we both have beautiful hair, and we both had a number of secret girlfriends over the years.
All right, Mr. Trump. Now, listen, one of our very own.
Da Vinci Code. It's all in there, baby.
Okay. Now, former Miss Universe, Australian lass, Jennifer Hawkins, she's been defending you this week.
Yeah, she's been defending me. She's a great girl. Of all the Australian women I've attempted to grope over the years, she was definitely my favourite.
What other Australian women have you tried to grope?
Oh, so many. So many. And all of the hottest ones. Elle McPherson, Olivia Newton-John, Dame Edna, Todd McKinney, all the hottest chicks.
All right. Well, Mr. Trump, good luck on Tuesday.
What's on Tuesday?
The election.
Sorry, I thought I had another sexual harassment case that day. I gotta go. I've just arrived at Hooters for a campaign meeting.
Sounds confident.
Big day for a lot of people yesterday, Ed. Some of us went to pubs around the place. Some of us have watched at home. But a lot of people, 25,000 I reckon, were out at the newly redeveloped Eagle Farm racecourse. 25,000 people. They've just spent $54 million doing it up. And at 1 p.m. yesterday, what occurred, Ed Cavalli?
the power went out and no one could see any races. People couldn't see.
Some of those tickets were $400, $450 each in those trackside marquees where you pay $400 to get your high heels stuck in the turf.
Yes.
Power went off at 1, came back on at 2:35, I believe. Everyone's ducking for cover. The Brisbane Race Club going, Energex, that's a disgrace. Energex are going, well, your disgrace is you use too much power. Then all the fuses blew.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the blame game has started. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Have we got some of the audio of some of the disgruntled punters?
Yeah, they weren't happy.
I can't even have a bet with the bookies. And I've come from New Zealand for this.
That's what we're here for, you're betting a horse and back a winner. And we can't do that.
Got no phone reception here either. I can't bet at all.
We're pissed off. There's nothing happening down there at Eagle Farm. They're out of power.
So you can imagine, they would have been coming out onto Racecourse Road, going down to the Hamilton Hotel. Apparently they went to the Bolo on the corner of, what's that, Nudgee Road there. They were all headed down there to watch the race. The big screen, they got the world's biggest, they got Brisbane's biggest screen there on the finishing line.
Huge.
Didn't work. No screens work, no bookies, no TAB, no nothing. Worked for an hour and a half around the big race.
Jeez. Were you there? Let's get some eyewitness reports.
Remember this man, though, before we do that, Ed.
We're pissed off. There's nothing happening down there at Eagle Farm. They're out of power.
We're angrier than him.
Drunk and angry. It's a good combo.
Were you there yesterday? What was it like? Eyewitness reports, please.
What
if you're
happened?
One of the 25,000 that made their way to Eagle Farm. Ian, you were there, mate, and what was it like for you?
Mate, it was quite funny. We haven't been to actually one of those events before, and you know, the power went out just before 1 o'clock. So when actually the race was on, people were all huddled around their mobile phones trying to watch it. So there were 25 people around one mobile phone.
Oh, God.
There was so much buffering going on. Virtually none of the phones would work. No one could put a bet on.
Oh.
But one of the funniest things was when people actually got mobile phone service, it was after the race. So you can hear people watching replays. They didn't actually see the first race. So 3 chalets down the road, you see people yell, oh, someone's won now.
Oh, that's funny. God.
You're on a permanent time delay. Thank you, Ian.
Emma from Mango Hill, what happened?
We went to the races for the first time. My hubby and I both took the day off work to have a nice day out. And, we went to the races for the first time. That was my first time ever.
All dressed up?
All dressed up and got him in a suit and tie and everything. And then we saw one race and then the power went out.
Mm.
And we hung around for a bit, but then we decided to sort of get out of there with everyone else. Mm. And I work in Racecourse Road, so I actually ended up going to my work to watch the race on the computer.
Oh, all dressed up. That's terrible, Emma.
And I ended up back at work on my day off.
Oh, you poor thing. All right, thank you, Emma. Here comes Bill. Bill from Fitzgibbon. Bill, what was it like at Eagle Farm yesterday, buddy?
Mate, I've got to say that it was an absolute disgrace.
Oh, dear. Mm.
This is the leading race club in Queensland.
Correct.
And probably one in Australia. It was an absolute disgrace. There was no one to tell us what was actually going on as well. Mm-hmm. So we couldn't have a bet. We couldn't see a race. And in fact, I think it was race 3. The actual horses had jumped and there was no commentary.
Of course.
We had the horses racing around the track and no commentary.
So there's no PA system. There was no PA system to tell you what was going on.
That's right. And they still let them jump out of the barrier. So, you know, we couldn't hear a thing.
Oh, God.
The worst part about it, though, was the beers were getting hot as well because there was no air conditioning. Mate, it was an absolute disgrace, and I'll never go there again, for a Melbourne Cup meeting. And
you would have paid a bit of coin, too.
Sorry?
You would have paid a bit of coin for the day.
I paid a bit of coin, but, you know, the saving grace was I backed the winner.
Oh,
so,
wow.
It's all's fair. It's all well that ends well. Thank you, Bill.
That's the most important bit.
And Tim from Ashgrove, finally, you're at Eagle Farm yesterday, Tim. What happened to you when the power went out?
Boys, g'day. I was in the members. In fact, the power in the members was out for over 2 hours.
Yes.
About 20 past 12 it went out. And as Bill said, no one was telling you what was going on. And that race, in fact, it actually came up on the big screen with about 50 metres to go. No commentary. And like everyone's then racing to out to try and watch it on the big screen. But it was so dark there that you needed a torch. And I've actually gone to go to the toilet.
Mm.
And some blokes come the other way and whack the glass door open, so I've copped one in the face.
Oh, door in the face.
It's a better door class of door in the members, though, isn't it? It's a better standard.
No, it's the bloody reinforced door, reinforced one, so it's not going to give way. Your face gives way before it.
Oh, yeah, God, door in the face. Thank you, Tim. What a disaster.
Actually, I think we might have seen Tim on the news last night. I'm not sure. It could
you
be
sure?
This guy.
We're pissed off. There is nothing happening down there at Eagle Farm. They're out of Prawns. Power.
Marto, yes, Dreamworld is still closed as the investigation continues into the tragic accident. And from the Courier Mail, she's following the story closely. Claire Armstrong joins us. Morning, Claire. Thanks for your time. Now, we saw, have the police closed the airspace around Dreamworld as well?
Yeah, so this was basically they closed the airspace for several hours to stage the reenactments. You might have seen the photos with the crash test dummies representing the six people. So they closed the airspace while they actually reenacted that, obviously, so they couldn't have choppers and things filming or drones filming what they're actually doing down there.
Claire, can you tell me, did they refill? Because I watched the cranes take all the what do you call them, the things they sit in, the gondolas, whatever you want to call
them. Things, yeah.
Did they go back in the water and they filled it all up and ran through a full reenactment?
Yeah, so the coroner and James McDougall visited the park yesterday for the first time, and the police used those crash test dummies and ran through the entire thing as it apparently happened, as per the CCTV that they obviously have.
So he could see the whole thing unveiled.
Claire, well, he's the one that makes that decision afterwards, so he needed to see it firsthand.
Right, okay. So, and Claire, this former top cop that they have employed by the name of Mike, what is his job? What is he meant to be doing?
Yeah, so basically Dreamworld have appointed this guy, Mike McKay. He's a disaster recovery expert. So he's there to assist in the aftermath of the tragedy. You probably know last week there was a lot of back and forth on the park opening, and obviously the parent company of Dreamworld got into a bit of hot water for having their AGM and handing out these bonuses. So it hadn't really been handled that well up to this point. So they've actually brought in a really good expert to help them manage that. And they've even said they don't even have a timeline for reopening the park now.
Yeah, they've rethought it. Because he was there when after the Grantham disaster. So he's some sort of recovery PR expert.
Oh, right.
Yeah, effectively. He's also got a lot of experience like working with the communities that are in grief. So he was there back in 2011 helping that community who obviously have lost a lot and was really struggling to come to terms with that disaster. Same thing will hopefully happen here on the Gold Coast.
Talking to Claire Armstrong, a journalist from the Courier Mail, about the latest in the Dreamworld Now investigation. What's happened with the staff, Claire? Are they still being paid even though they're not obviously not going to work?
Yeah, so Dreamworld did put out a statement not long ago saying that they'd partially started going back to work, maintaining gardens, maintaining that kind of thing. Okay. All of the staff are being supported at this point, yes.
Because there's all the people, you know, there's the tigers that they would obviously, and other animals and things, and maintenance that would still have to take place, I would imagine.
Yeah, so that's right. Most of the workers that are back there now are doing things like looking after animals and maintaining things that, you know, they don't go away just because the park is closed.
Yep. Hey, is the ride actually going to be, is it going to be closed down, that actually, the River Rapids ride?
It seems highly likely. They haven't made a call on it, but no one seems to be talking about ever opening the ride again, no.
All right, Claire Armstrong, we can read the latest on the Courier Mail, the Courier Mail website. Thanks for updating us on the Dreamworld investigation.
Thanks for having me.
Geez, there's been some stuff flying in Australian cricket over the last few weeks. People with books coming out, people, former players with things to say. But there's only one man who knows exactly what's been going on in the Australian cricket shed in the last 4 years. It's their coach. And that's the name of the book, Boof Lehman. Hello, mate.
Hello, mate. Hello, crew. How are you?
Ah, Boof, it's always a pleasure. You know what it means when I see your beautiful bald head on the TV in a tracksuit. I know it means cricket, and that makes me happy, Boof Lehman.
Yeah, I hope it's going to be a great summer. I mean, obviously, starting on Thursday, looking forward to playing South Africa. We're at home, so it's going to be a great series.
Well, it's the first of the day-night test because it runs until, 8 o'clock here each night. It'll be magnificent.
Yeah, it is. You'll be happy, you boys. You'll be asleep, though.
Straight away, you've got some ideas to how it may be improving the game, maybe quickening it up a little bit. I read that you're talking about getting rid of the coin toss at the start of a test match. I like that idea.
Yeah, I've said that for a long time, actually, lads. But that's not probably not going to change. It's an idea you throw out, and you know, hope it gets some traction. To be perfectly honest, I mean, you know, the home ground advantage for everyone around the world is huge, and in some of the countries, it's such an advantage batting first that it gets ridiculous. So, I think you just got to be open to the idea and talk it through and see what it comes of. It would certainly make it better for the away teams. There's no doubt about that. Which might, you know, solve some of the problems with the lopsided contest at home. You know, in Australia, we get a very good, very fair, and it's always a good, even contest. So looking forward to, obviously, South Africa, a very quality side, so it's going to be a great series, full stop.
Hey, Buff, is there anything in there that you wouldn't like some of your players who are playing, let's say this week, next week, whenever, wouldn't like them to read? Like, because you made some comments about the disparate characters in the dressing room, it being a bit like Con Air.
Yeah, well, we are, mate, half the time, to be perfectly honest.
Everyone's different.
Yeah, everyone's different. I think that's what you got to do as a coach, try and mould a side together where you can and help the captain out, you know, lead the best way you can trying to play the game of cricket. So for us, it's about actually realising that everyone's different. And in the book, it just really gives the insight on what it's like to coach these guys and coach some of the other teams I've coached. So it was great fun doing. And hopefully it gives a few aspiring coaches you know, a few ideas going forward.
Talking to Buff Lehman about his book, Coach, and of course the summer of cricket is upon us. Well, as far as I'm concerned, it already started, Buff, because I'm the only person that watches the Matador Cup.
Matador Cup.
That's a story for another
Let
day.
Let it go, Ed.
Buff, you mentioned Con Air. You've brought up Con Air. I didn't bring it up. Is that your favourite Nicolas Cage movie? And if not, what is your favourite Nicolas Cage movie?
I don't know what is my favourite Nicolas Cage. My favourite movie, and this is going to really rock your socks, you're going to love this, is P.S. I Love You.
Is it really?
When you're home, you're going to make the wife happy.
Sorry, Marto. Sorry, mate.
Nothing wrong with that, mate. I love Marley and Me with my wife. Like, you've got to have those wife movies.
That's fantastic, Buff. Well, all right, listen, the book is out now. Coach, go and grab yourself a copy, and we will be glued to the television for the first test. Darren Lehman, a pleasure. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, boys.
Get behind Brisbane Heat in this season's Big Bash League. Their first home game at the Gabba, December 30 versus the Hobart Hurricanes. Tickets on sale now from brisbaneheat.com.au.
I was watching the coverage from home yesterday.
Oh, no.
On the couch, watching the Melbourne Cup.
Have been the only Australian who could hear what actually happened, because when you're in a crowd, you can't hear a bloody thing.
I tell you, some of it just goes on and on. After we've heard 40 minutes of what the experts think and rah, 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 then they drag it out. Dammy Im does two songs, which is fine, I guess. And
did
then,
she do the national anthem, Dammy?
Yeah.
I could see her on the screen, but I didn't know what she was doing.
No, it does a good job, Dummy. He's a good singer. So they then, after they have all the jockeys and this, they have to introduce the horses. Have you seen this?
No.
This took forever.
Number one, Big Orange, will be ridden by the Irishman who steered him to a fifth place finish last year. Number two, Our Ivanhoe, today looking to add another chapter to the Friedman family's marvellous cup history. Number three, Karen Marotic, is looking to deliver a second Melbourne Cup to Japan. Number four, Bondi Beach, the five-year-old, will be ridden by an English star who won the cup in 2014 on Protectionist.
Wow.
Ryan Moore.
Okay.
That's enough. Okay. There might be enough.
And as it went on, I thought, you know what? They're struggling to find things to say about the horses at the back of the field.
Number 21, Scrotox. Ran really well at Eagle Farm in some race. 50-1 odds, so some money coming in from morons. Ridden today by the shortest jockey in the field, Grant Denyer. Number 54, Edelston's Escort. The youngest and only blonde horse in the field. What a rump on it, full of saline. Being ridden today by the oldest jockey, a creepy little wrinkly guy, which is also how the horse got its name. Number, what are we up to? 612. How many horses are in this race? Brown, looks nice, tall. Geez, is that a tall horse? And it's emptied its bowels in the mounting yard, so it's going to be a few kilos lighter. If it wins, it'll be a hero. If it loses, IKEA meatballs.
Something for everyone. I know, imagine you'd lived your whole life and possibly your parents' whole life supporting a team and never see them win. That is the case, unfortunately, for Chicago Cubs fans in the Baseball World Series. If they don't win today, Marto. It's a must-win game in the World Series against the Cleveland Indians. The poor thing's going to have to wait another 100 years to try and win the World Series in baseball. I shouldn't laugh because we have with us Mike North, a lifelong Chicago Cubs fan from Fox Sports at USA, the National Weekend Show. Mike, how are you feeling today, mate?
I'm doing good, guys. How's things down under, all right?
Yeah, we just had our biggest horse race of the year yesterday, but we look at you guys and realize this is the biggest thing. How Chicago got a chance? It's actually in Cleveland today, right?
Yeah, it's in Cleveland, and you know what? We have an opportunity to tie it up tonight at 3 games apiece, and then we would play again tomorrow night to beat Cleveland and to win 4 games to 3, hopefully. We need to win 2 games in a row. We put ourselves in all 3 games to 2. But, yeah, you were right. I heard your stuff before, and it is sort of funny when you stop and think about it. I mean, my mother, the last time the Chicago Cubs went to the World Series was 1945. My mother was a teenager, and now my mother's 86. And that was the last time. She thought they were going to go more consistently, but she had to wait from 1945 and live to be 86 to see it happen in 2016. So we're talking a long time here, gentlemen.
Mike, you're a smart man. Have you ever thought about changing your allegiance to another team?
Well, to be honest with you, most of my family are Cub fans. I'm more of a White Sox fan, and the White Sox and the other team in town won in 2005. But I am a Cub fan also. I am a Chicago guy. We stick with our teams. Nobody will change their allegiance. There's people that will change their allegiance over teams that have won. People that are Cub fans from the time they come out of the womb. I mean, that is their curse, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's been characters on Saturday Night Live making fun of, you know, how dedicated Cubs fans are. Going back to the 80s, Marto, they were making fun of the poor Cubs fans. So this is... this is one of the great hoodoos in sport. Hey, Mike North from Fox Sports USA, are they a chance? In Cleveland, I've been watching some of the games, and the Cleveland pitching has been pretty fantastic. Are the Cubs a chance today?
Oh, yeah. They have a chance. They're one of only 2 teams playing out of 30. Of course, they have a chance. To win 2 in a row is nothing for this team. They won 103 games this year during the regular season and 162-game schedule. They are playing a team that's got pretty good pitching, but that team hadn't won a World Series, hasn't won a World Series since 1948. Now, they've been to some since, the latest 1997, but they haven't won either. So both teams are very, very thirsty. Both fan bases are very, very thirsty, if you want to know the truth.
Yes, I saw how thirsty some of the Cubs fans were after they won a game.
Imagine if they win. Hey, Mike, what's more important, the election or today's game?
Wow. You want to know something? For Chicago, it's today's game. For the future, it's the election.
Yes.
It's the election for the future. And then you know what? It's an entertaining one. In fact, the Chicago Cubs and the debate, the political process has knocked the National Football League out of the number one ratings in America.
Yeah, that's true.
The National Football League is usually the most strongest league, but between the Cubs and Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, the National Football League has taken a back seat now.
Yeah, that is so rare to take place. Mm. Mike North from Fox Sports USA, the National Weekend Show. Game 6 today between the Cubs and the Indians. Good luck to all you Cubbies fans, Mike. Nice to have you with us. Thank you.
It's great to be on with you guys, man. And, we do like to drink. I'll talk to you guys. Hey, send me the boomerang.
Can do. It'll come back, but I'll send it to you. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, throw it to me, but it might come back to you. I love you guys.
Yeah, Marto, we're doing our lend a hand. We've been doing it all year. It's just been great. The help that we've been getting from people in Brisbane for various projects. And thanks to in conjunction with the Children's Hospital Foundation, lending a hand to redo, to renovate, and as you say, reconfigure their Nunda cottages, which do incredible work with families and with children in the space of mental health.
The Children's Hospital Foundation, most people go Lady Salento, and it's a magnificent hospital just been finished. They mainly deal with that. And they said, listen, can you give us a hand? We've got the Nunda cottages, is where we deal with a lot of parents and children.
Yep.
And try to sort through their mental health problems, etc. And we said, we know tradesmen and we can give you a hand. And it's been underway only for 3 days. And you know what? We were just talking about we needed some supplies, bathroom and kitchen supplies, all of them, whatever we need for the job. Highgrove Bathrooms have rung out, so we'll sort that side out. So we've got the
good
timber from
home.
Narangbar Timbers. Woodland Shop Fitting are doing the cabinet making. This is coming along nicely.
Yes, and with the response from the tradies of Brisbane, which we thought it might be, has been overwhelming. Daz the Sparky. Hey, Daz, you're going to give us a hand, buddy.
Yes, for sure. How you doing?
Oh, good, mate.
Good on you, mate.
So, electrician, mate, what we got a fair few walls being moved, so therefore recabling and stuff like that, mate. It's not technically difficult, but we just need someone to help us. Are you in for it?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. It's the sort of charity I can afford to do and probably believe in. Probably it's the type of charity I really believe in, if anything. Here, every time I hear you guys doing a project, I've missed out the last few times, so this would be a good chance.
Oh, well, mate, Daz, I've just been told you've just restarted your business, mate. We're happy to give you a plug. Daz the Sparky, we've got your details and everything.
Yeah, what's the business called, Daz?
Daz the Sparky, so Google Daz the Sparky, S-P-A-R-K-Y.
Great. Daz, we look forward to seeing you there, mate. Thanks so much for your help.
How did he come up with that name? Like, Daz.
I think he had the Sparky bit and worked backwards. Here's Scott. Scott from West Scott Plumbing. Scotty, you willing to give us a hand?
Oh, yes, absolutely, mate. Yep, willing to do some plumbing work there for you to help children out.
You're tremendous, mate. Thanks. Again, there's not an enormous amount, but if you give us, it'd probably be maybe two lots of half a day. Same thing. Things are being moved. Another little kitchen being put in. You know what the deal is.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, no, that sounds fine with me, mate. I'm happy to probably give two full days there for you.
Oh, mate, you're tremendous.
We should be able to get all the plumbing work up to scratch in the place.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's Scott from West Scott Plumbing, thanks so much for giving us a call to lend a hand.
Oh, well, they're two of the major ones we needed, actually. But we also needed some carpenters. Actually, we've got Adrian from Eco Building Services out of Brendale. Hey, Adrian, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good, boys. How are you guys?
I've been told you love working on workers' cottages.
Mate, we specialise in workers' cottages and post-war homes, so, yeah.
Oh, great.
There's a heap of, mate, we've got to change a heap of swinging doors around, and we're going to make them cavity sliders. So if you and your boys could offer a day or so, mate, that'd be tremendous.
I've got the best boys out in town, mate, so no worries.
Well, I love that.
Hey, Adrian from Eco Building Services and Brendale, thank you. And also Mark and Gavin and Ian and Duncan that have all given us a call that we don't worry, boys, we've got your names and your numbers. We'll be speaking to you in a moment off air. If you think you can help, we're going to need we've got to get this done quickly, and also, you know, we want to get it done.
Don't bring Smoko either, boys. Everything. We'll make sure we sort out all the food side of things.
Yeah,
that's an important part of being a tradesman.
Yeah. No, it is. I understand that. That's a bit I do understand. Yeah. So if you can lend us a hand, we still need plenty of help. You can hit us up on the Lend a Hand page on the Triple M website.
Of course, that's triplem.com.au. We're doing it as a part of Channel 9's telethon, making a difference to kids in need and their family.
Marto, you and I have one of the things that you and I have in common is that we both love a quiz show.
Oh, don't we? What? I live for them.
I love
asking quiz questions.
So do we. We run a quiz at the start of our show every day. And there's a new quiz show, which has been going a couple of weeks now on the ABC, ABC One, Wednesday nights. It's called Hard Quiz with Tom Gleeson. Now, Tommy Gleeson, he's a great Australian comedian, been around a long time, done a lot of great stuff. But this is about, he gets people on who are experts in their field. But he also, there's a bit of a twist because he has, have a listen to this. This is him. This is Tom Gleeson asking a question of a young bloke that's come on, and he's an expert in Doctor Who.
This is the sound of the TARDIS materialising. The effect was achieved by dragging what household item across the strings of an old piano?
It was a key.
Is correct.
Oh my God.
Wait for it.
It's probably your ringtone, isn't it, Miles?
It actually is.
But you'd never hear it because no one rings.
He's not afraid to give him a slap on the way out. Hello, Tom Gleeson.
Oh, good morning. Yeah, I know. Well, that's part of the thrill of doing this quiz show is I get to give them a sort of bit of honest feedback as they're travelling.
Because they're dorks. That's who he's dealing with.
Is that a fair reflection, Tom?
Oh, well, I just think that, you know, game show hosts in general are just too polite. I always don't like it at the end, you know, when they leave and they're just like, oh, well, thanks for playing. What a shame. It's the least honest part of the show. I think most people at home, you're thinking, why weren't you just better?
Yeah, why didn't you know that?
Which quiz king has taken you? Like, who did you model yourself after? Is it Tony Barber? Is it Eddie McGuire? Is it Grant Denyer? Who are you?
You know, I'm in my early 40s, so Tony Barber had a big part in my life. So I've kind of, like, I'm Tony Barber, but if I was an arsehole, that's why I do it.
There's a lot of fun, because Marto, you get to pick your particular area.
Okay, your category of expertise.
Yeah. How specific, Tommy, are they starting to get the contestants with their categories?
Well, last week you may have seen it. There was Renee. Her specialty was Richard Gasquet. a French tennis player that no one had heard of.
God, yeah, I know that, who you mean.
That was a challenge. I mean, she was obsessed with a player who pretty much has gone nowhere. So it's starting to get really narrow.
So you're allowing stalking to be seen publicly on ABC.
Well, pretty much. I mean, and this is the thing. She just been stalking this player for years, and it's been of no use. But then last week she got to win a quiz show out of it.
ABC, I'm thinking the prizes aren't 50 to 100,000 or anything, are they?
Well, no, we give them a big brass mug. They get a trophy.
Yeah.
But they're happy with that.
Yeah, they are happy because they've had a win, mate. If, Marta, you were going on, Tommy Gleason's hard quiz, what would you go with, buddy?
There's only one category because I used to say this when Mastermind was on, Brisbane Rugby League 1970 to 1976. What do you got for me, Tom?
See, that would be perfect. I'm not sure I could think of any questions off the top of my head.
Well, the 5'8 for Valleys was Marty Scanlon, if that was the question. Like, things like that. They weren't even my club.
No, this would be great. I mean, we'll probably lose a lot of viewers nationally.
Big in Brisbane that night.
It would be a real bright spot in the ratings in Brisbane.
The spike in Brisbane would be worth it. All right, it is Wednesday nights, and then you can see it on iView if you want to catch up. It's great fun. It's a really good fun show. Tommy Gleason, host of Hard Quiz. Good on you, mate.
Thank you.
Get behind Brisbane Heat in this season's Big Bash League. Their first home game at the Gabba, December 30 versus the Hobart Hurricanes. Tickets on sale now from brisbaneheat.com.au.